John, the 7th chapter. John chapter 7, and I'm going to begin reading here. Let me just double check something. Down in verse 37, for the sake of time, we'll not read the preceding part of the chapter, but John chapter 7, beginning with verse 37, we'll just go down through verse 44, if you follow along with me. The Bible says there in John chapter 7, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Now kind of put your finger there. Jump over to Ephesians chapter 5. A very familiar verse. Verse 18. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now let's pray. Lord, again, this is where you've led this morning. And we believe this is what you would want to be preached and proclaimed. We thank you for your word, the clarity of it, the message of it. And now we pray that you would bless in this time we're going to spend looking at your word. We need for you to do a work in our midst today. We need revival. Oh God, how our church needs revival. We as individuals need revival. And we know that revival would affect our country that desperately needs revival. Send revival to us here today. And then I pray for those who are here without Christ that today would be that day of salvation. That day of getting the issue of heaven or hell settled once and for all, forever. Through faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. And I pray you'd use me, Lord. I've done my best to prepare. I just pray that you'll guide and direct and use me as you see fit. That your work would be accomplished in this time, in this place. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Secrets to a Spirit-filled life. The secrets to a Spirit-filled life. Now, back to John chapter 7. And we find in the Gospel of John here that he records a very specific event that took place in the life of Christ. And in the previous verses in that chapter, he kind of backgrounds what's going on. He tells us that Jesus has now come to attend the Feast of the Tabernacles. And that feast was a celebration in what we would think of as the fall of the year. And it was a celebration of the ingathering or the harvest. Now this festival, this feast, actually lasted 7 days. If we read the preceding verses, we find that somewhere in the middle of those days, it says, in the midst of the feast, Jesus went to the temple and he taught there. And as he taught there, his teaching caused a great stir with the Pharisees, like it always did. And they began to seek how they could silence him. Now then we come down to where we are here in verse 37. And we now learn that on the last day of that feast, Jesus speaks out again, and I personally believe he was in the temple when he did this. And in verses 37 and 38, we see the invitation offered and the promise given there. He says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But see, then in verse 39, it's so interesting. We find an amazing explanation or clarification, if you will, of what Jesus just said. The rivers of living water that he's referring to here is the Holy Spirit. And it says so in verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Here is the promise of the Holy Spirit to every believer, and the potential of the Holy Spirit in every believer. All who come to him will receive within them the great and mighty power of the Holy Spirit of God. And this power has great potential as it's allowed to flow from the believer in his or her daily life. Paul in Ephesians 5 verse 18 speaks again of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. And he says there, be not drunk with the wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, being filled with the Spirit happens when the believer yields himself to the Holy Spirit, allowing him to work in and work through the believer's life. In the words of Jesus found in John 7, verses 37 through 39, we find three keys. Three secrets, if you will, to being filled with the Spirit. I want you to look at them with me this morning. Being filled with the Spirit. Number one, I want you to notice the cause of the Spirit-filled life. It says there, verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. You know, if the Holy Spirit, if we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus is going to have to be glorified in our life. Now, what am I referring to there? Well, in order for Him to be glorified, there has to be a crucifixion. See, when it says here that Jesus had not yet been glorified, what it's talking about there is that Jesus' glorification came after His crucifixion. There had to be a death. And what we need to understand is, if we're going to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit, there has to be a death, there has to be a crucifixion. Number one, there has to be a death to self. Let me take that back. A death to self. If we're going to be filled with the Spirit, we've got to die to ourselves. We've got to die to our flesh. Now, we're not talking about a literal dying. We're not talking about we have to actually die physically. But we have to die to self. We have to die to self-will, if I can use that terminology. It comes down to this. The old man has to die so the new man can live. In Matthew 16 and verse 24, Jesus said this. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, what's it mean to deny himself? It means to disown, to utterly deny or disown a person. Disregard one's own interest. If we're going to follow him, we've got to deny ourselves. We've got to die to ourselves. There must be a crucifixion. I thought about the Apostle Paul. I was reading 1 Corinthians 15 the other day, and Paul says there, I die daily. Now, that didn't mean Paul had a little casket in his house there where, you know, every day he went over and plopped himself in and said, no, I'm dead. No. Doesn't mean he committed suicide every day. No. When he says, I die daily, he's talking about, I die to myself every day. And if we're going to be Spirit-filled, that's what has to happen. I have to die to me so He can live through me. I have to kind of get out of the way, if you will. So there has to be a death to self. And then secondly, there has to be a death to sin. You know, one of the reasons, the primary reasons most believers are not Holy Spirit-filled believers? Because they have sin in their life that they won't deal with. Now, we all know that we're never going to be sinlessly perfect. We understand that? But we also know if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can have our sin account short, if you will. But you see, when we refuse to confess and we refuse to forsake our sin, we are hindering ourselves spiritually. And we cannot be Spirit-filled. Got to be a death to sin. Go over to Romans chapter 6. Paul writes there about this issue of sin. I'm going to begin reading at verse 12. Well, 11. Paul writes there in 6:11. He says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. I lost my place. Oh, there we are. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. No, watch this, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Now in verse 16, he brings out a very interesting point. We are servants to that which we yield ourselves to, or to whom we yield ourselves to. If we're yielding ourselves to sin, we are the servants of sin, not the servants of the Holy Spirit of God. And we need to understand that. Being filled with the Holy Spirit requires yielding to His leadership. Not the leadership of the flesh, not the leadership of sin, but the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the Holy Spirit can never lead us to sin. Sin is the result of following our flesh. Galatians 5:16. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh. The Holy Spirit cannot and will not fill a continually dirty vessel. You might want to jot that down somewhere. Just get it in your computer. He cannot fill a continually dirty vessel. We can't have the filling of the Holy Spirit if we're living ungodly and carnal lives. Why? Because we're yielding to sin, we're yielding to the flesh, and the only way you can be filled with the Holy Spirit is to yield to Him. It's one or the other. It's either or. You can't have both. So, there has to be a crucifixion. A death to self, a death to sin. But I want you to notice, secondly, there needs to be a coronation. Go back to John. Chapter 7. John, the 7th chapter. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. All right, if he's going to be glorified, there has to be a crucifixion. If he's going to be glorified, there has to be a coronation. What am I talking about? We need to make him king. We need to enthrone Jesus on our heart as the King, the Lord, the Master of our life. That's how we can have the filling of the Holy Spirit. If we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, His will has to now be supreme. That means we're going to obey His word. We're going to follow His commands. And then we need to allow Him to have complete control of every area of our life. I said every area of our life. King, Lord, Sovereign, Supreme, Master, controlling one of every area of our life. You know what I've found a lot of Christians' lives? They've kind of compartmentalized their Christianity. What I mean by that is, they've surrendered certain areas of their life to the Lord, but other areas, they've refused. Lord, I'll give you this area and this area and this area, but over here, I'm still in control. No. If you're going to be Spirit-filled, He's got to have it all. There has to be a coronation. He has to be King, Lord, Master of one's life. Many believers refuse to surrender in every area. They surrender in some, but not others. I've had occasion to meet some believers who have surrendered some of the parts of their life in areas, but maybe there was a wrong relationship they would not surrender. They knew it was wrong. Scripturally it was wrong. But they wouldn't give it up. Well then, you can't be Spirit-filled and He can't be King and Lord of your life because you're not giving Him complete control. And that's what the Lord and Sovereign and Master of your life really is. Complete control. Some of you refuse to surrender their career. Well, I'm a Christian and I love the Lord, but my career is more important than the Lord. You're not going to be Spirit-filled that way. Maybe some other area. Maybe it's a Christian who's going somewhere and the Holy Spirit speaking to him about, you shouldn't be going there, you shouldn't be doing that. And they refuse to submit to Him. They're not going to be Spirit-filled. See, because the definition of being Spirit-filled isn't we get more of Him. It's He gets all of us. We yield to Him, to His leadership. You know, it's interesting. Jesus is the one who said, no man can serve two masters. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means we yield to Him as our Master. To be filled with the Spirit, we have to follow His leadership. And there has to be a coronation. So, the cause of the Spirit-filled life. There's a crucifixion. Death to self, death to sin. There's a coronation. I want Jesus to be the King, the Lord, the Master of my life. And Holy Spirit, I'm going to give you complete control and I'm going to follow you and walk in the Spirit. Number two. The conditions of the Spirit-filled life. Again, Jesus is pretty clear here in verse 37. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. See, if you want to be a Spirit-filled believer, you've got to desire the person of Jesus Christ. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. You know what you see there? It means if you really want to be filled with the Spirit, you've got to have a desire. Notice he said thirst. Doesn't that express desire? Need? Something that needs to be satisfied? The filling of the Holy Spirit is available to every believer. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. You don't have to go there. I'm just going to read it to you. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The filling of the Holy Spirit is available to all of us. And let me say this. We read over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, where we see there's a command there. I hope you realize Ephesians 5, 18 isn't a suggestion or maybe a good thing to do. It's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. And so that's something God commands every believer to do. God would never command us to do something we cannot do or have. So the filling of the Holy Spirit is available to every believer. It amazes me how some people think, well, only preachers or deacons or Sunday school teachers or missionaries only those people can be filled with the Spirit. Not so. Every believer can and should be filled with the Spirit. But we've got to have a thirst. And then we've got to believe the promise of Christ. He said, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus said, come unto me. Come with that desire. Come with that thirst for the Holy Spirit. And if you'll come with that thirst, you will receive what you want. I thought about this. You know, that promise is as good as the Word of Jesus Christ. You're looking at me funny. Well, it's as good as any other promise He made. And we know He'll keep every promise He ever makes. He can and will keep the promises. No one is accepted. No one is denied. No one is turned away who sincerely seeks the filling of the Holy Spirit. The conditions, desire the person of Christ, believe the promise of Christ. And then one must partake of the power of Christ. That indicates a willful partaking of that which will quench the thirst. And here's the key. Everyone is commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit is available to every believer. No one is forced to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't ever lose sight of that. The offer is made. The invitation is given. Jesus said, if you thirst, come. But He doesn't say, I'm going to seek you out and I'm going to force feed you. No, no, no. The availability is there. The opportunity is there. But friend, we've got to have that desire and we've got to want that. And no one is forced to partake. He has the power to quench that thirst and He will. Many of you have heard this old adage. Well, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. How many of you ever heard that? All right, what are we saying? You can take a horse to where the water is available. You can do everything you can to make it available to that horse, but you can't make that horse drink. If he wants to, he can. Well, you know, God says, hey, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, but I'm not going to make you. But I sure want you to. any believer who sincerely desires his filling can have it if he will yield himself to the power of Jesus Christ. I was thinking about, I've read a little bit about D.L. Moody, his testimony. And he was saved as a salesman in a shoe store. And after he got saved, he began praying for the power of the Holy Spirit, for the filling of the Holy Spirit. And you know, he testifies how he was walking down the sidewalk one day. He had been praying about this thing. He wanted to be a Spirit-filled believer. And God came on him and moved in him, and he became a Spirit-filled believer like he'd never been before. Why? He thirsted. He wanted and he was willing to come and seek, and his thirst was satisfied. We have the opportunity of being Spirit-filled. We have the availability, and it comes through the power of Christ. You know, this really isn't something we can do for ourselves, so to speak. We can only put ourselves in a position to be so. You with me? We put ourselves in a position by the coronation and the death of self and the crucifixion and all, and so that the Holy Spirit can have the control that He needs to have. Notice number three. The consequences of the Spirit-filled life. And here's kind of where the rubber meets the road. Because right here is, I think, one of the reasons a lot of believers shy away from this idea of being a Spirit-filled Christian. What are the consequences? What's the results of being Spirit-filled? Well, number one, there's going to be a spiritual practice. And by that, I mean clean living. We don't have time to go into all the verses, but in Galatians 5, where go over there for just a minute. I'm going to read two verses. Galatians 5, where Paul talks about walking in the Spirit. Verse 16. Well, I guess I better read the verses. He says this, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. So that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. That's how the flesh acts. Those are the deeds of the flesh. That's how the carnal man walks. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ has crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Paul wants us to understand the consequences of a Spirit-filled life, or we're going to live a different life than the unsaved and the carnal Christian. Because we're not going to be doing the things of the flesh. We're going to have clean living. Living to please the Lord. Dealing with the sins in our life. Fighting that daily battle against the flesh. And it is a battle. Spiritual practice, and then spiritual power. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to have some spiritual power. The Spirit-filled believer will be able to experience the power of Christ working in them, through them, and for them. When you're a Spirit-filled believer, you're going to be able to overcome sin. You're going to have some victory over your sin. When you're a Spirit-filled believer, you're going to have some power in your witness. What am I talking about? When you're Spirit-filled, other people are going to see Christ in you. Your co-workers are going to see a difference. Your unsaved family members are going to see a difference. Your neighbors are going to see a difference. You're going to have a power in your witness, the witness of your life to this lost and dying world. It's going to make a difference. By the way, people may not like you for it. People may come against you and try to hurt you and all manner of things, but they're going to see there's something different. There'll be spiritual power in our prayers. I'm going to preach tonight on prayer. Do you have any power in your prayers? See any prayers answered? Getting a hold of God? See, when your spirit filled, you're going to have some power in prayer. Remember we talked last Sunday night about James, or Elijah over in James, how it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What's he mean, a righteous man? A man who is right with God. A person who is living in the power of the Holy Spirit is going to have power in prayer. And we have power to win other people to Christ. We talk about soul winning and witnessing to people. And let me tell you something. We understand we can't save anybody. But we're the vehicle, we're the vessel, we're the tool to take the message. And it's through us the Holy Spirit works to bring others to Christ. And when we're Spirit-filled, we're going to be able to talk to people and sense the Holy Spirit working through us to bring others to Christ. Power in displaying the fruit of the Spirit. Hey, how you doing there? We read about in Galatians chapter 5, you displaying the fruit of the Spirit in your life? And Jesus said there in John that we would be fountains, spiritual fountains to other people. Out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then notice thirdly, a spiritual perception. See, if you're Spirit-filled, you're going to have a different way of looking at things. And you're going to see things other people don't see. Now, I'm not getting spooky. You know, we're not going to have visions and words of knowledge. That's not what I'm talking about. But you are going to have a spiritual perception that other people don't have. Unsaved people will never have it. Carnal Christians are not going to have it. Because they're not in tune and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But you will if you're a Spirit-filled believer. A Spirit-filled believer can understand God's Word. I'm not saying we never have a question or there's never anything we don't understand. But I want you to know, as Spirit-filled believers, we can read the Word of God. And when we do have questions, God can show us truth. I've had many times where I don't understand that, Lord, or what about it? And God will show me something in His Word to say, well, there's the answer. Spirit-filled believer. Understanding God's Word. Seeing God's leadership. We're going to have perception in that. We're going to be able to pray and say, God, lead me in this. And God's going to give us direct leadership. I was talking to somebody recently who had a serious, serious decision to make not long ago. And we prayed about it. And within a day's time, God had shown them beyond a shadow of a doubt what the answer was. God can do that? Oh yeah. You're walking in the Spirit. I've had many times I've needed leadership. And I pray, Lord, lead me in a plain path, like the psalmist did. Lord, give me direction. You said you would direct my path over there in Proverbs chapter 3. Show me, help me to make the right decision. And you'd be amazed at what He'll do. By the way, sometimes we don't like what He does. Sometimes we're wanting a yes and He says no. But thank God when He has His way. Understanding God's ways. See, a spirit-filled believer understands this. God says himself, my ways are not your ways, and your ways are not my ways. Spirit-filled believer understands, watch this, we don't always understand. I talked to you about Terry Lawson. He shared just a little bit of their adventure. They were in North Carolina. They had been to Washington, came back to get the rest of their stuff. Their trailer was supposed to be sold. Their land was supposed to be sold. A motorhome was supposed to be sold. When they got back to North Carolina right before Christmas, all of that fell apart. So now they're back to square one. But they prayed. They believe this is what God has. They began working through the different steps. Come to realize through prayer that God didn't want them to sell the motorhome. Instead, they would take it and travel back to Washington in it and pull a trailer behind it with all their belongings in. And when they got out there, then they could sell it. And then they were able to break off part of their ground and sell it. And another fellow put some money on the other part and they were on their way again. Now this took over a month. But they're on their way again. Actually 2 months. Now they're on their way back to Washington, to Gig Harbor, to get that church started. And they get down the road. Now they bought a trailer to put all their belongings in to pull behind the motorhome. He kept blowing tires on one side of the trailer. I think he blew 4 tires. He finally got a hold of a trailer company to come and look at it and tell me, what's wrong that I'm blowing tires on one side of the trailer? They said, your axle's bent. Here he is, out on the interstate. You know. Now, he's got to get another axle. So he had to have the axle replaced and replace the tires. Ah, got that settled. Now they're on their way again. They get to Orem, Utah, and Christy yells at him. She's following him in the Windstar. Terry, the top's blown off the motorhome. And they're kind of in the middle of nowhere. He said they were able to get off the interstate to a parking area there, and they stayed for the night right there, and they called the motorhome people, and they came out, and they looked at it, and they said, we can strap you down enough to get you down the road a little bit. That's what, they had to strap that top down. Now he's out there in Orem, Utah, and now they're stuck for 10 days. The kids, the dog, no place to stay, really. They're staying in a Sunday school room. And have to wait for the parts for the motorhome. He's dealing with the insurance company. He's going through all. Why am I saying all this? Because in all of it, his testimony is he don't understand, but he understands. He understands that I don't know why you're doing this, Lord, but you have a purpose. You know, it takes a spirit-filled believer to do that, to come to that place where you can say, man, this is all falling apart, and this is all bad, and man, it just seems like one. But Lord, I'm going to trust you. See, spirit-filled believers do that. Understanding God's ways aren't our ways. He don't move it at our whim. By the way, He don't move in our timetable. Spirit-filled believer comes to that. God in His time. So we're back to this. Secret to a spirit-filled life. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. But the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But you see, all that changed. There came a day when he went to the cross. There came a day when he was taken off that cross and put in a tomb. And 3 days and 3 nights later, he came out of that tomb just like he said he would. When those women went to see him on that first day of the week, the angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. He's glorified. Everything changed. Now we can have that filling of the Holy Spirit. Now we can have that river of living waters within us. But we've got to thirst for it. And we've got to come to Him. And we've got to be willing and seek it. Are you a spiritual Christian? Only you and the Lord can answer that. But don't forget, God wants each of us to be a spiritual Christian. And God has made provision for each of us to be a spiritual Christian. And you can be. If you have a desire. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Secrets to being a spiritual Christian. It's not a big secret. Why then aren't we spirit-filled Christians? Because we fail to do what needs to be done so that we can be spirit-filled. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to talk to the folks in this room first who know they're going to heaven when they die because they've been saved. You've been born again. You've come to that place of accepting Jesus. And you don't have any doubt. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. I want to ask you this question. Are you a Spirit-filled Christian? Before the Lord today, could you say, "Preacher, to the best of my knowledge, I am a Spirit-filled Christian. Here's my hand. Hold it up high. Hold up high. To the best of my knowledge, I believe I am. Spirit-filled Christian, here's my hand. Put it down." I wonder how many would say, "Preacher, I don't think I'm Spirit-filled. I'm thinking right now of some things in my life that have kept me from being a Spirit-filled Christian like I need to be. I'm not walking and living in the power and leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. I know it and God knows it. A preacher, this morning I want it to change. I really have a desire to be a Spirit-filled Christian. I'm asking God to help me to change whatever needs to be changed. And to help me to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's my hand. Hold it up high. God bless you. Hands all over this room. God bless you. God bless you. Now let me ask this. You know, friend, if you're not saved, there's no way you can be a Spirit-filled Christian. Because you don't even have the Holy Spirit in you. But He will come to dwell within you if you'll come to Jesus Christ and receive Him as your personal Savior. So someone here today say, "Preacher, I've never been saved. I've never come to Christ. I don't know for sure. My sins are forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd like to know today. I need to get saved today. I know God knows it. Preacher, would you pray for me? I'd be happy to." I can't do that if I don't know who you are. So right now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, God's speaking your heart right. You need to be saved today. You need to come to Christ so you can have the Holy Spirit living within you. I wonder if somebody, maybe several here today, say, "Preacher, that's me. I need to be saved today. I want to have the Holy Spirit in me. I want to know I'm going to heaven when I die. I want to know Jesus as my Savior. Here's my hand. Pray for me, preacher. Would you slip it up high? God bless you." Somebody else, "Preacher, that's me. You can put it down." Somebody else, "I want to know Jesus as my personal Savior, preacher. I need that today. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high?" Somebody else. Let's stand together. Father, we thank You for the opportunity of filling with the Holy Spirit. We thank You that You've made Him available to every believer. That not only have You made Him available, You've indwelled us with Him. And Lord, the only thing limiting Him in our life is us. Help us to be yielded. Help us to just allow You to do in our heart and our life today what You want to do. Several raised their hand and said they want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Be spiritual Christians. Help them. And for the ones who raised their hand and said, "I need to be saved," bring them in this invitation that we can take the Bible and show them how they can know they've been saved, they've been born again, they're going to heaven when they die. Holy Spirit, do your work here today. We just need you to work in hearts, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.